Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised.
Brother, I'm going, run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion.
No. Cut the music. We ain't got time for this. No. Listen here, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. And as you can tell, I got a rant for you. We ain't got time for that intro today. Not today. We're just going to jump right on into this Royal Rumble. These are my initial reactions. We'll cover this again on Tuesday when I have time to think logically. But these are my initial reactions to the night, right? That's what y'all know me. Like, if I don't record this tonight, I'm going to forget how I actually feel in the moment. And it's going to be a forced reaction. So I'm more so a little bit in this mood, right? You see the TV behind me. That's where I was watching. I'm literally sitting in the same chair. I literally turned around, turned the computer on, said, we're recording this. Right. That ending of the men's match, we're going to get there in a minute at the end of this episode. But let's get the boring stuff out the way. DIY retains. Okay, we knew that was going to happen. Not much to say about here. This match was slow. It was boring. It really didn't have a purpose on the card. That's out of the way. The best part of that match, the Profits are back, and they got that edge to them, and I feel that's good going towards where I want them to go toward as we head into Mania, hopefully leading to a Profits title win at WrestleMania. When I update my card, and so what we're gonna do each and every week. So in the casual wrestling community, Wavy D will be on Thursdays. I want to just prep this because Wavy D is there. He'll be updating his Mania card on the casual wrestling show every Thursday. I do believe it'll be every Thursday, right? So I'm going to do mine on Fridays, right? On the Friday episode each week, for the next until Mania, basically. Maybe not every week, but probably definitely this Wednesday I'll update it, and then probably after Elimination Chamber I'll update it on the Friday episodes, right? So as we adjust the card headed towards Mania. The tag division, that's fine. We'll get that out the way. Let's talk about Owens versus Rhodes real quick as well. Then we'll talk about the actual Rumble matches, which we came to see, right? Those were the two matches everyone really cared about. This was a treat. It was slow. It was methodical. Some would say boring. The pace wasn't, you know, what it would be. If this was... because both of these guys are that AEW indie style as well. They can run it. If this was booked by AEW, this match would have been a 60-minute banger that would have been fast-paced and crazy spots, but it didn't need that. Because the story, and this is why story is important, the story here is Cody said he would do whatever it takes to retain, right? Kevin Owens, same thing. Like, who would go that extra mile, right? But I'm also seeing that turn in Cody. We could be getting heel Cody. And if that's where we're headed, that's awesome. That would be a fantastic match. And so, yeah. But I enjoyed this match. I think it accomplished what it set out to accomplish. Cody retains. Owens, you know, we get the visual of Owens sort of destroyed, and I wonder where this leads. I wonder, you know, the only thing I didn't like was Sami Zayn being ringside at one point, but not attacking either of the superstars, right? If he wasn't going to help Cody, attacking KO would have been great, right? Sami not getting physically involved meant that him being there wasn't quite important enough for me to care that he was there. Right now, I'm sure Triple H will come up with some reason or some story, and then it will make sense, right? But in the initial reaction, in the initial viewing, like, it made no sense for Sami to be there. All right, we're done with those, right? We're done with the We watch WrestleMania for the Rumble matches. Let's just be honest, right? None of the other matches really matter. So I have a lot to say about both of the Rumble matches, right? So we'll start with the women's, right? So I'll come out and say this was the better of the two Rumble matches, from the result to the match itself to just, I think, the care and of certain wrestlers and what they were telling in this matchup. Definitely, in my opinion, the best of the two Rumble matches. I felt the pacing was great. They didn't eliminate people too early. And it felt like everything in this match had a purpose, right? From Chelsea Green to getting eliminated by Piper, you know, the way PFC all got eliminated and felt, you know, they felt important enough. And you could, you know, commentary could explain, like, oh, when they're a pack, they're dangerous, right? But then they also get eliminated. Jordynne Grace looked, important, you know, had some crazy moments in the match as well. You had the tension between Bianca and Naomi at that point as well. There was a little bit of tension there. Bianca, like, why are you hugging her? You're my friend type thing, right? So I it would not surprise me on the way through Mania if Naomi gets attacked. And again, it's Bianca behind it because of, you know, jealousy of some type, right? You know, of some type, who knows, right? But it wouldn't surprise me if Bianca attacks Naomi on the build-up, maybe to, like, Elimination Chamber, and she has to, you know, forfeit the tag titles, and that's what gets her in the title competition for Rumble, or excuse me, for Elimination Chamber, right? Pacing was nice. The best of the two Rumbles. This is how you book a future star, by the way. You don't have to win the match to book a future star, but the way they gave Roxanne Perez the superstar treatment, coming out at like number three, having the longest women's Royal Rumble time in the Rumble of history, being in the final two, having a long night and looking, you know, good. I don't even know how many eliminations, if any, that she had. But the fact that she came in there, right, and looked dominant definitely is a good thing for Roxanne Perez. It's how you make the fans care about her, right? There's a lot of focus on NXT, which I enjoyed being an NXT fan. But it also tells me one of two things. It showed me one of two things. They're ready to call people up from that division. Because look at the ones they use. Like, I think this Julia run is going to be real short. I think I'm going to give in 2 weeks or probably next week. I'm going to, if we have a full card for Vengeance Day, because here's the thing, on the 14th, that Friday, which would typically be a show, I'm going to be traveling up to DC. So I don't necessarily know when or if I'll even record that day. Right. So that's up in the air. And so I don't know if you'll have an episode on that Friday. I know next week, just now that I'm thinking about it, you're probably going to get the episode on Wednesday because that's my off day from work. The schedule needed some changing, and so you'll probably get an episode Tuesday, and then you'll get another one on Wednesday. Right, but the focus on NXT was great. They really do believe in NXT's women's division as the future of the women's wrestling in the industry. But they, I think they also recognize that they have a lot of top women's talent. Because the ones they used, right? So I already knew Metaphor was going to be moved up with, you know, Lash, Jakara. And then being in this picture, and I assume with Lash being in this, that's probably a call-up, right? Roxanne's probably a call-up. Jada, Julia, and Stephanie, I'm not quite certain. I think Stephanie, just sort of a preview, a sneak peek, I think Stephanie might lose the match against Fallon, and I think she may have an immediate like rise to the main roster. Julia, I think probably after Mania, will probably after Stand and Deliver, may be on the main roster. Jada Parker, I'm not certain. I think it's to introduce the non-NXT crowd to Jada Parker, right? Who don't know about her, and introduce her to Julia, and introduce them to Stephanie Vaquer, right? Because I think those will be the next like draftees or call ups. A little bit sad that we didn't get Kiana James back, but I don't know if this was a moment for her to come back. I'm not gonna complain about who we got here, right? So that's the next step. We get Alexa Bliss back, right? And all week we've been having these dirt sheets come out. Oh, there's contract issues with Alexa Bliss. They had plans, but she wanted a new contract and she's being difficult, and so they scrapped the plans and she may not even come back to WWE. And what have I been saying? What have I been saying to you guys? And I may not have said it on the podcast, but so you might have needed to be in the Discord to see these conversations. But I've been saying, y'all got to understand what's going on here. Triple H feeds bad information to the dirt sheet, so you get the moment that we get where commentary mocks him. Michael Cole says, oh, I thought the internet said she wasn't coming back. And Wade Barrett shoots right at it. Stop listening to the dirt sheets, Michael, right? That's the moment that Triple H wanted to make the dirt sheets look stupid, right? And so I could have told you Alexa Bliss was going to be there. I felt very certain, especially with the Wyatt Six being moved. It felt like they were just waiting for her to come back to finalize whatever they have going. I think she'll be on SmackDown with the Wyatt Six. And things will be great with her. Alexa Bliss is back. She looked good for the time that she was in the ring. Highly, highly appreciate that one. Charlotte's back. She comes in shape, probably the best shape I've ever seen Charlotte in. Like, you know, she looks ready, good to go. She gets that entrance and right, boom, boom, boom. There we go. Like Charlotte Flair's back, right? And so everyone's sitting there, probably. And I can't tell. I can't talk for how you guys watch the show, but I was in Discord with, in the casual wrestling Discord, right? We're sitting there having sort of the same thoughts, right? Who's left? Who's the announced ones that haven't come out yet? We're trying to figure out who number 30 surprise is going to be, right? And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, well, if it was based on what I think we're going to, you know, we have three people left and we knew Nia was one of them. She was the last, pre-announced one, right? Or was Nia, there was another person, I forgot who it was, that was pre-announced, and then there was something along the lines like that, right? And I was like, well, it's going to be Nia, I think it's going to be Becky, and who the last one is, I have no idea, right? But we don't get Becky, right? And which, we'll talk about that in a minute, right? So we get to number 30, and I'm like, I have no idea who this is going to be, right? Some are saying Jade Cargill. I was still holding on the hope of Becky Lynch, right? But I'm not upset we didn't get Becky, because what we get is we get Nikki Bella. And there's a lot of people like, why we got Nikki Bella here, right? And let me tell you what I think Nikki Bella does. She immediately becomes, and she can jump right in. I think Chelsea Green versus Nikki Bella would be a fantastic feud. Not for Mania, because I think that's going to be Piper versus Chelsea, right? But I'm looking down the line, maybe like a SummerSlam, right? Or somewhere around there, right? I'm looking at potential matches for Nikki Bella, and I'm excited, right? A lot of people are mad that she's back. Oh, it's a wasted 30 spot. Guys, we're going to have this talk with Wavy D, so I don't really want to lay in too hard. I don't see the problem with Nikki Bella being here. I just don't. I don't know an argument against having Nikki Bella here. It was a surprise for most of us. I completely even forgot her. Like, because Notorious Nerdy D from the Casual Wrestling Show mentioned her in his predictions. And I'm like, yeah, it would be cool, but I don't know if it'll be her, right? But then it was her. I'm like, I'm not even mad at it, right? Because I loved the Bellas when I got into wrestling, right? And a lot of people are upset. Oh, we wanted Becky. I don't ever think Becky was ever, you know, I know she re-signed. I don't think Becky needed to be in the Rumble. Again, my booking of her was to be with Lyra to sort of build that, but you don't need to build that story in the Rumble. I still think she's coming back. I still think she'll be a build-up against Lyra, whether it's, just a match on a Raw that sets it up or something along the lines. I still think that Becky and Lyra will be the match. I'm not giving up that hope yet, right? But the crybabies on the internet, because Nikki Bella's back, are absolutely insane, right? But that sets her up, right? Imagine this conversation that Triple H had. Hey, Nikki, we want to bring you back. The crowd's going to boo you. We're going to put you in that 30 in the Rumble. The crowd's expecting like a Jade or a Becky, and it's going to be you, and they're going to be disappointed. They're going to boo you, but that's what we want, because Nikki Bella was best as a heel, right? This sets Nikki Bella up for a massive heel run. Again, I've always said this. Any reaction is a good reaction, and if they bring someone back to be a heel and they get booed if they get booed as on their debut, well, that just sets them up. That's exactly the response they want, right? So you guys crying about it and booing it and complaining about it on socials, that's what they want. That's the exact reaction Triple H, I think, expected when he made that booking decision, right? But now there's some of these crybabies that are also crying because Charlotte Flair won. And, oh, Charlotte just gets handed every – guys, remember, this isn't just, you know, Royal Rumble where we put the strap on someone and it's going to be our next up-and-comer that wins it. No. Or this person had a really good year. And that sounds kind of contradictory, because that's exactly what they did in the men's with Jey Uso. He had a great year and he became popular, so he won. But not every Rumble is going to be booked like that. This one was 100% – storyline based. You need to get Tiffany Stratton a really solid heel that can put her over as the baby face, right? Nia Jax is not it. Candice LeRae is not it. Many will say, well, Charlotte didn't need the Rumble win. But what's the difference between her winning Rumble and her winning Chamber? That's why I've never quite understood why we, because the matches are essentially the same gimmick, right? You win this match type and you get a title match at WrestleMania. It may not be the main event, right? But you get a title match at Mania. So what would be the difference of Charlotte Flair winning the title or winning the title opportunity or winning to face Tiffany at Chamber or versus Rumble? It's the same prop. It's the, right. You got to understand the Rumble match type is a prop to tell stories. This was the best story that needed to be told. You needed that solid heel, which Charlotte Flair would be, for to get Tiffany Stratton over. But also what this does when Tiffy wins, and everyone just sort of assumes Charlotte's going to win this feud, and it's not going to happen. Guys, Triple H is smarter than that. Would Vince McMahon put the title on Charlotte? Absolutely. But Triple H understands what he's doing, that Tiffany Stratton is his next big star. Tiffany Stratton is the next Charlotte Flair, right? That's going to appeal to a more conservative base that Rhea Ripley doesn't appeal to. Like, Rhea Ripley appeals to the metalheads and the grunge outcast, which is fine. That's a lot of the wrestling fan base. But to a casual audience who maybe looks at Rhea and is a little bit off put by it, Tiffany Stratton is what you can put on posters, right? Tiffany Stratton is what you can book as your next Charlotte Flair. So to have her beat Charlotte Flair, put the rocket strap to her and send her straight to the moon. Guys, 2025 is the year of Tiffany Stratton. How many times have I said that in the past, right? That this match was going to happen. And so I've said it. A lot of people said it. It's not hard to predict this, right? Predictable is not bad if the story is good. And this is going to be a good story. I don't understand the hate for Charlotte as the winner, because whether she won Rumble or whether she won Chamber, and I know people are going to say, well, that's the same reason. We could have put someone over in Rumble. Guys, it's the same fucking prop. Just have, like, if you wanted Io Sky to win, have Io Sky fucking win Chamber, and you get the same two matches. I don't get why we're complaining and bitching about this. It, like, and I don't mean to you know, sound rude like that, but that math ain't mathin', big dog. Right, that math ain't mathing. Right, could Charlotte have just won the Chamber? Sure. Could there have been a story where, like, oh, Charlotte, you can't just come in and earn a spot. You have to actually earn it, and you got to go through the Chamber to do it. Okay, yeah, I understand that. But I still felt that the Rumble, because now this is, you know, a big time match, right? And Charlotte Flair is not going, first of all, I don't think Charlotte is going to Elimination Chamber, right? It's all about, you know, understanding who Charlotte is. She's winning Rumble, right? And then you can have an EO. I still think it's going to be Bianca, right? Because Rhea's a face, right? So you need a heel. Well, I still think Bianca's turning heel. Now, I could be wrong. We could get someone else. But I still think it's going to be a heel Bianca who along the line attacks Naomi, right? Turns heel on Naomi, comes out and says, yeah, I attack Naomi. Yeah, I attack Jay Cargill. Becomes this heel that matches Dawkins and Ford. And we have a new heel group, right? Right. So y'all just got to get over yourself, right? You don't like number 30. You don't like the winner. Guys, y'all just got to get over yourself, because here's what's going to happen, right? We're going to get to WrestleMania, and Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair are going to be cooking in the ring, and y'all are going to cheer for it, and I'm going to be over here cheering for it, saying this is why she won Mania. Y'all are crazy for hating on this, right? It's going to be a banger match. It's going to be a banger match, right? And whoever faces Rhea, it's going to be a banger match, and we're not going to sit back here and complain about how we got there, right? Let Triple H cook. Like, Triple H can cook at times. This is Triple H's season. Right? Rumble and Mania, that's his ship. Right? The beginning of each year, between January and, like, April. Excuse me. That's Triple H's ship. He's very good at booking between the months of January through April when it's Rumble, Chamber, Mania. Right? The rest of the year, shaky. Right? But Triple H is going to be cooking right now, right? So let's not focus on your hatred because you don't like Charlotte or because you don't think Charlotte deserves it, or right. But here's the thing, right? If anyone has watched wrestling for any extended period of time, the way they presented her return back to this match with the vignettes, right? Anybody with common sense understood she was winning. So I don't know why we're upset, right? Anyone who picked EO, I told you EO wasn't going to win. Right? It was always going to be Charlotte Flair, right? So now let's get to the match that pissed me off a little bit. And that's the Men's Rumble, right? Now, it didn't piss me off as much as it could have, right? What really would have pissed me off was CM Punk winning. Because I always felt that there was a better story than CM Punk, right? If we're talking about someone who doesn't need WrestleMania main event right now in his career, like who's ascended past that, it's CM Punk. And but also, like, it was way too obvious what they were doing with Punk. They were sort of teasing him, and I said this right on yesterday's episode. They sort of were putting CM Punk and like testing him with different reaction with between different people, right? And I'm gonna have to do some real searching in my booking ability on because I think a lot of my WrestleMania cards are about to change, right? I'm gonna get off this mic and I'm gonna fix it, and I based on what I saw tonight, right? And then next week you're gonna get that those changes, right? But let's talk about this Men's Rumble, right? So you get the basically the Luchador IC really U.S. title picture out the way, right? You get those guys, the first like 14 people, well, first like 11 people. Then Jacob comes in and clears house. You have the good moment with I Show Speed, which was funny and entertaining. Bron Breakker comes in at like 7 and has a good time, right? You have Mysterio and Penta and all the Latinos in the ring and all of that. Good way to start it. The pacing was fine with that. And then you slow it down once you get the Luchadors out of the ring, right? So that was my first initial thought of this. Was the pacing was, you know, or the decision to get the fast Luchador-esque type stuff, you know, mid-card stuff done quickly was a great decision considering that what was coming towards the end, you had like 10 heavy hitters that were going to be at the end of the match, right? I was a little bit upset that the same focus they put on NXT in the women's wasn't shown in the men's. There's not as much talent, I believe, is ready for the main roster spot, but I still believe Trick Williams should have been in it. Obafemi probably should have been in it at the least. I'm not upset about really anyone else, but I really wanted at least Trick Williams and Obafemi, right? I don't think Jacob Fatu was used correctly. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, he was a monster, but he should have had like 12 eliminations and been in at least the last 10, right? I don't know what's going on. You know, no Solo Sikoa in this match. I really thought maybe we were setting up Jacob versus Solo. I have no idea what they're going to do with Jacob Fatu. I really don't, right? I have zero idea what they're – where the hell is Solo? Has anyone ever told me, like, where the fuck Solo go? Right, Solo's not in this match. That's weird to me. Joe Hendry comes out, and that was fun. Got a big pop, got a little moment going on. He got at least an official elimination in the Rumble. Right, he gets out pretty quickly, which isn't surprising, considering if he does come to WWE, I do believe he's going to NXT, and that's about where he's going. Just solely because I don't think he has, like, he's going to get to the main roster, and the casuals and the main roster fans just aren't going to get who he is, right? Outside of the crazy gimmick that he has right now, like, this is essentially just Elias that's a little bit more popular in the independent scene. And I don't, there's a place there, but it's mid-card. I think if you put him on NXT with this partnership with TNA, he could still be top of the card, still remain some level of popularity, right? I do think, though, that Jacob Fatu should have been used more. Solo should have been in the match, right? So we get down to the final, like, eight, right? Penta had a good showing, gets eliminated, right? And we're down, we have... We have Rollins, Punk, Cena, Jay, Roman, and I think LA Knight, probably Logan Paul, in the ring at this time, right? And Roman and Rollins get involved and get eliminated, I think, by Punk, right? I think Punk eliminates both Rollins and Reigns. And then Logan Paul, if I can remember, I'm having trouble sort of recollecting everything just because of how the match ended, right? It sort of left me a little bit like, I got some things I got to say, right, about how this match ended, right? So we essentially get to the final two, right? So Logan gets eliminated, right? He was part of the final three, Logan, Cena, Jay, right? Logan gets eliminated. Now we got Cena versus Jay, right? And I was hoping for Cena to win, to sort of like you give the hope to the IWC and the Jey Uso stands and the people yeeting, and you give them the hope and you play it off, but Cena somehow conquers and wins, right? That's not what they do. Instead, they give Jey Uso a main event title match, right? Now, first off, Gunther Jey Uso doesn't scream main event of WrestleMania. So while they're saying he's going to main event WrestleMania, I highly doubt that this will main event night. If anything, it will be night one, but I highly doubt it will main event it, right? That's why I'm not a big fan of the prize being the main event of Royal Rumble. It should just be a choice at a title, right? That should be the prize if it was me, you know, determining that, right? I just don't understand Jey Uso. And just like I said yesterday, right? If he wins this title, which he's 100% going to win at Mania now, right? Because it's all about the optics. And Nerdy D was right. You had 70,000 people in the stadium yeeting as you ended the show. It's all about that moment. And I understand it. I'm the first to say matches don't matter, moments do. And I understand. I understand it, right? But we're going to get this title run. He's going to win in April. And it's going to be so boring. He's going to be a transitional champion. Who replaces him? I have no idea. The thought of having to watch Jey Uso yeet and have 10-minute entrances with this title for 2 months is already going to piss me off, right? But this also just like, I get it. It's not that I'm upset with it. I get it. He's the most popular wrestler on the planet right now, right? He sells tickets. He sells merchandise. You know, WrestleMania is probably going to get a bump in ticket sales at some point, right? You know, it's a great moment. I'm not upset at that. I'm happy for Jay. I just think having it happen over Cena in an opportunity where you could have put Cena to beat Gunther and then have Cena sort of open challenge everyone. And even if it was like Jay beat Cena in an open challenge or something, I think for the Mania match, in terms of moments, like Cena beating Gunther is more, first off, realistic, but also more important to me. Like, cause it means more. Like, this doesn't mean nothing to me. I'm not emotionally connected to Jay in the way that I would be emotionally connected to John Cena's very last WrestleMania, right? Because now I have this question, right? John Cena, you know, a lot of times in this match you build certain stories. Like I'm leaning towards we're probably going to get Roman versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. I'm throwing Rock out of the picture here. I'm going to go ahead and throw Rock out of the picture. I got to figure out what we're doing with Cody. I'm not 100% certain yet. But that's what my brain's going to try to figure out. As much as I'm going to hate this, I think we're going to throw out my 4v4. I'm going to have to let go of my pride and throw that out. That's definitely not happening after the way this show ended. And so part of me feels like we may go the Cody, Sami Zayn route. Just if I'm brainstorming off the top of the head right now. Um, Yeah. I get it. I get why you did it. But my question is, so like I could figure out, okay, it looks like we're headed down like a Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, maybe even Seth Punk and Reigns type feud, right? Maybe the favor is make it a triple threat for me or something. Who knows, right? That seems to be the route we're taking at Mania for that story. Like Drew, I don't exactly remember what happened with Drew. I got to go back and watch again. I forgot who eliminated him off the top of my head. Maybe we get like a Drew Damian story. That's who it was, Drew and Damian, right? Maybe we get Drew versus Damian. That sounds like a really good match that we could get. And so like you could pick up on these stories. John Cena doesn't have one. Like the entire time he was there, he sort of just felt meaningless. If he wasn't going to win, now we don't have a story built for him. So I don't understand it. I just don't. Like, what's left for Cena for WrestleMania at this point? And unless it's to go in and win Elimination Chamber, because here's my thing. The way they've been promoting Elimination Chamber, I think Cena's going to be there. And that's probably where Cody's going. So we're probably going to get Cody versus John Cena. And the story is going to be, this is my final opportunity to get on the card. And we're probably going to go Cena Cody. And I don't know how I feel about this, just to be honest. But that's where my brain's going to land with that, right? So that's my initial thoughts. You know, in the last 30 minutes as I was sitting here talking, like, I'm not upset that Jey Uso won. I just don't – my big concern is that we're going to give him Yeetomania like we did with Kofi, and then he's going to get the title, and people are going to recognize almost immediately, just like what happened with Cody last year, that they really didn't want this. And people are just like – it's going to annoy me because if he's transitional and this is just a 3-month title reign, to me, that's worthless, right? We should be in an era where we praise longevity in title reigns. These ideas that the titles need to bounce back and forth is insane to me, right? Jey Uso's not a world champion. I'm sorry. He's just not. And so that's where I'm at with it. The same thing that I said about the women's in the Discord, like, y'all gonna have to get over it. It's about story. This is about story, and it's fine. Jey Uso's 0-6 right now in singles title matches, and the seventh time is going to be, you know, lucky number 7. There's a story there. I understand the story, right? But this is also why I wanted to give my initial reactions before Tuesday, because the longer I sit here and contemplate, okay, this makes complete sense, Tuesday I'm going to be probably saying, this makes complete sense, right? Just a preface, right? But I'm just happy CM Punk didn't win because there was no reason for CM Punk to win this match. I'm happy for Jey. I can't hate on him. He's just not my favorite. I don't think he's all that entertaining once you get past the entrance. And I think you have to at least have some ability to tell a story also within the ring. I just don't think Jey has that ability, right? I think the moveset's weak. I think there's only so much an entrance can give you. Eventually, people are going to be tuning out of these 10-minute entrances on Monday Night Raw, right? So I'm not that mad about Jey winning. I just wanted it to be Cena. I don't like the result. Cena should have won. But I understand the story they're going to tell with Cena of, this is my last year, and I need to find a way to get on the card. And so I'm confused there. I'm also confused on where Logan Paul is going to fit, because with him being 30, he really didn't get an opportunity to build a story with someone. So that'll be interesting to down the line to see. These are my initial results or thoughts on the Royal Rumble. I'm going to give it like an 8 overall as an event. I thoroughly enjoyed both Rumble matches and Cody and KO. The tag match I already knew I wouldn't care about. Women's match was definitely my favorite by far, but I can't complain too much about the results. So, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Jay. I'm just going to just go ahead and tell you, when you guys are all aboard this Jey Uso train, and it looks like it's going to paradise right now, and you're going to win the title at WrestleMania, and that's fine, and you're going to get your big moment, but then you're going to get to, like, Backlash and then Money in the Bank and Saudi and those shows, and Jey Uso's, you're going to be like, I'm a little bit tired of this. I'm telling you, you're going to get that same reaction. And part of me hopes that fucking Brock Lesnar is the one that fucking ends this title run. Maybe at a SummerSlam. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? I was 100% certain fucking John Cena was winning this. And we made it almost. So, you know, again, Jey Uso, it's a cool story. I can't hate it. I'm going to let Triple H cook. I'm just not the biggest fan of it. So those are my initial reactions. Let me know what you guys think. Thanks for listening to me rant for 40 minutes. Like, share, subscribe if you enjoyed. Let us know how you felt. Leave us a review if you're listening on audio. And until next time, I'll see you on the next episode. This is Week Too Deep. This has been another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. See you next time. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping Meat Wrestling every Tuesday.